This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Philip C. Now, last week, the de facto law minister, Dato' Sri Wan Junaidi, said that amendments to the Whistleblower Protection Act 2010 would be tabled to Cabinet next month. He revealed in Parliament that the government was looking at specific areas of the Act, focusing on actual whistleblower protection, because the statistics that he shared were also startling.
I mean, over 73,000 complaints were received under the Act since 2011, but only 527 actually received protection. It's important to have a legal framework in which people feel secure and confident in revealing abuse or wrongdoing, especially in the corporate sphere. Now, studies from Transparency International have shown that whistleblowing is the most effective way of detecting serious wrongdoings such as corruption and fraud. So the ultimate question is, how can the law be better improved to enhance overall corporate governance of Malaysian businesses?
For some perspective on this, we have on the line with us Deva Nason Everson, CEO of Minority Shareholders Watch Group. Good morning, Deva. Thanks for joining us. I just want to know, is there a consensus definition on who counts as a whistleblower?
Well, basically, a whistleblower is a person who informs on another person or organization regarding that person or organization engaging in an unlawful or immoral act, what is called the improper conduct. So there is a consensus as to who is a whistleblower.
And is that the problem here? Because if we saw the statistics, only 527 of the 73,000 complaints were actually received protection. Is that the problem here? Because the definition is that clear and not really communicated out.
Actually, the statistics are not clear, because what is stated is that about 73,000 complaints were received and 527 received protection. So when you receive a complaint, there may not be a valid case. So you see, you're looking at apples and oranges. You receive 73,000 complaints, but 527 received protection, anonymity. So it just doesn't jive in that sense.
Okay, so Deva, since we don't have a clear indication of the real background to this story, but I'm just curious, do we then know whether we have a decent or reasonable standard of protection for these whistleblowers?
The fact that we have a Whistleblower Protection Act 2010 is a step in the right direction. The very act itself acts as a control so that, you know, potential wrongdoers are aware that there is an act that can be thrown at them. But of course, I think what the government is now trying to do is trying to improve on the act. But having said that, acts are only good as the paper they're written on. We need to create an ecosystem where there is trust. There should not be trust deficit, whether real or perceived, because there are good people out there who want to blow the whistle but are afraid of victimization.
Can you share what are the improvements the government is contemplating?
I'm not very sure exactly what the government is contemplating, but I can share with you some areas where perhaps some thought could go into. Like, for example, currently disclosure of improper conduct can only be allowed to enforcement agencies. So you can only whistleblow to an enforcement agency. Perhaps there is some opportunity to include the media, for example, the Fourth Estate, as one of the persons to whom a whistleblower can actually blow the whistle. That's one area. We find this happening in other countries. Why we need the media included is simply because, as I mentioned, there may be a trust deficit, either real or perceived, and we need to eradicate that. The second area where I think there's an opportunity for improvement is that the Act states that whistleblower protection can be revoked if the disclosure of improper conduct principally involves questioning the merits of government policy, including policy of a public body. So what it actually says is that you cannot whistleblow if you're questioning the government's policy, not the merits of the government's policy or the policy of a public body. There should be no sacred cows, no holy cows, you know. I think all and sundry should be subject to the provisions of the Whistleblower Protection Act, especially government policy and policies of a public body, because they impact nation in a very significant manner.
And I'm just curious, if we drill down, are there any reforms or any changes that you would like to see, particularly just from the corporate sector perspective?
I think there's been a good flow through pursuant to the Whistleblower Act. What we find is that some regulators have actually incorporated provisions regarding whistleblowing. Like, for example, Bursa Malaysia, in their listing requirements, now require public listed companies to establish and maintain policies and procedures on whistleblowing, not only for the public listed company, but also for its subsidiaries. And to keep these companies honest, there's also a requirement to publish these policies and procedures on the public listed company's website.
And can I get your perspective? Earlier on, you were mentioning about this whole trust deficit that is happening, right, with the whistleblower. What can we do to basically reduce that gap?
I think two things, actually. One is anonymity is very important. And secondly, there should be no victimization. Like I said, the trust deficit could be real or even perceived, but it's just as relevant, you see. They're having cases, not only in this country, in many countries, you know, where the whistleblower doesn't get the anonymity. And after that, you know, there is victimization or retaliation. You see, like I like to stress the point that, you know, a whistleblower is very aware of the rice bowl he's got to protect or she's got to protect. The minute there's victimization, you may end up losing the job, or in extreme cases, there may be bodily harm to you or even your family. So we need to bridge this. We need potential whistleblowers to feel comfortable that when they blow the whistle, there will be absolute anonymity, no leakages, and there will be absolutely no retaliation of any kind.
But I have a question, Deva. Do you agree, like in the US, they actually pay their whistleblowers a reward for doing so? Do you think it's something we should consider?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are merits to that. You know, whistleblowers often, you know, have all the downsides. They take all the risks and there's no rewards. I think some agencies, government, like the customs and income tax, I believe, you know, they give a portion of, you know, reward. I think it's perfectly a good suggestion. The kind of motivation for whistleblowers that they don't only take all the risks, but there's also a wee bit of a reward.
And I think Xiaorin is alluding to, you know, so there are some really good examples and best case examples out there, like in the United States. When you compare our jurisdiction in Malaysia versus our regional peers and even international peers, where do we stack up actually? And what are the areas where what are the ideas we can take from other countries that we could adopt here as well?
I think what the minister mentioned was that he felt there was a need for revisions to the Act itself. I think it's a step in the right direction. Obviously, they have done their jurisdictional studies. See, the thing with the whistleblower protection is that you can't say one country is better than the other because it's generic in nature, whether it's a Commonwealth country or a European country, you know. Whistleblowing is generic in that sense. Some of the points suggested were, like, include allow the media, allow people to whistleblow to the media. And there should be no holy cows, you know, you can whistleblow on anything.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Deva Nesson-Everson, CEO of the Minority Shareholders Watch Group, telling us about how much, you know, how much we should kind of improve our Whistleblower Protection Act and provide more for those who actually are brave enough to speak out.
Yes, because, you know, they take all the downside, hardly much of the upside, you know.
And I think when you're going against such formidable people, companies, right? It takes, honestly, a lot of guts. And I think you're, you know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, if I do this again, will I ever be able to work in that same industry or even work again? Because will my reputation be tarnished?
Yeah.
Will people take me seriously?
It's a very interesting point, you know, especially, you know, for younger employees, right? They're very worried about their careers and their futures. And I think especially if you operate in a market where everything is about the network and, you know, your references and all that, it is very hard to have the courage and bravery to do that.
Yeah, not an easy task whatsoever. But I think they do deserve protection. They do deserve
Absolutely.
To be anonymous. And I think another important point, there are no holy cows. Everyone should be accountable, especially the government. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.